like to encourage you to open your Bibles to the gospel reading for this morning, found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19 on page 1031, if you're using the Pew Bible here in church. I'm in a series, you might say, and today I'd like to talk to you about three levels of giving. Now, the theme for the year is devoted to serve. Today we're going to learn from Jesus about giving. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, you have given to us the Bible. You have given to us your one and only Son, Jesus. And He gave His life. And He speaks to us this morning about giving. Give us an understanding of His words. In the name of your one and only Son, I do pray. Amen. You know, it is the kingdom of God on earth that moves forward and prospers due to the generosity of God's children, those within the kingdom. And I know this morning I'm preaching to the choir. In fact, as the pastor of our Savior Lutheran Church, I want you to know that you give, and I know it, with your time, your talent, and your treasure. And for those of you who gave your time this morning to come here, to gather with your family, those who are gathering online, and if anybody's in the parking lot, I want to give you a hand. Thank you. Those of you who've not only given of your time, but service, like Braille Ministry, So-So Ministry, teachers, choir members, ushers, elders, maintenance people, lawn crew, thank you. Thank you so much for giving of your talent. And for those of you who give of your treasure, your finances, your income, your wealth, thank you for supporting the ministry. Because God's kingdom prospers and moves forward through the generosity of God's people. Do you realize that in the Bible, believe is found 271 times. Prayer, 372 times. Love, 714 times. But generosity, giving, sharing, because your cup overflows, is mentioned 2,152 times. Why? Because our God that we worship is a generous God. Listen to the greatest gospel passage in the Bible. Giving is mentioned twice. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Now you can give without loving. You can give grudgingly. But you cannot love without giving. God so loved the world He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, here's the second gift of giving, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. Wow, God so loved, He gave His Son, and He gave heaven to each and every one of us. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Jesus teaches us this morning. The one who gave it all teaches us about three levels of giving. Not that one is better than the other, but three levels of giving we should think about and understand. Come along with me as we take a close look at the words of Jesus, the one and only Son, this morning. Open up that Bible and look at these words again. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Temporary things, physical things on earth, material things are temporal. Jesus wants us to go to the next level. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there, notice this, your heart will be. The three levels that Jesus talks about, the first deals with the heart, the second the eye, the third is your hands. Where's your heart this morning? Are you focused on material things? Or what you can lay up in heaven? Got a question for you. Well, no, before I have a question for you, I want to tell you about two tombs. Ever heard of King Tut? 5,000 items in his tomb. I've seen many of those in a museum. A chair, a mummy, animals, food, a chariot, swords, tools, 3 caskets. The final one, mummified King Tut, solid gold. Wow. Why? Because they have a teaching Egyptians did years ago that you can take it all with you. Let me tell you about another tomb. It coincides with what Job said, "Naked you came into the world, naked you shall leave." The tomb of Jesus Christ, empty. The clothing on his body laying there, folded up. No grave robbers would take the body and leave the clothes or the wrappings. They'd run off because they're soldiers. No, he rose from the dead. But his tomb is empty to this day. He took nothing with him. Nor shall you. The good news is this: we can lay up treasures in heaven. Let me tell you how that happens. How many of you have ever heard of the wife of Cusa? Oh, okay. How many of you have ever heard of Humphrey Monmouth? Okay, I'll get it a little easier here. This one I'm pretty sure somebody. Frederick the Wise. The kingdom of heaven moves forward and prospers by benefactors. Jesus and his 12 disciples ministered for 3 years. You ever wonder who supported them? How they did that? Did Jesus just miraculously make money and wealth? No. We learn in the Bible, especially from Luke, about the benefactors. Susanna, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, and many others gave of their own means to support Jesus and the 12 disciples. So they could have a treasury, a treasurer, which is Judas, and pay bills. And that's recorded in the Bible. In the Bible, Luke had a benefactor, Theophilus. And Luke wrote two books of the Bible because of Theophilus, who supported him financially. Paul, missionary journeys? How did he do that? Three times around the known world. Because of Lydia, Aquila, Priscilla, and Phoebe, and many others mentioned in the Bible again and again because they were benefactors. Martin Luther, who gave the German people the German language and the German Bible so the farm boy could read it, could not have done that if it wasn't for benefactors like Frederick the Wise, who protected Martin Luther, gave him his support, and enabled him to translate the German Bible. William Tyndale is the man who translated the Greek and the Hebrew into English and solidified the English language as we know it today, as Martin Luther solidified the German language. But at the time for Martin Luther and William Tyndale, same time, William Tyndale studied in Wittenberg, published the English Bible in Worms. It was illegal. You could be killed for translating the Bible. The words of God were captivated in Latin, imprisoned in Latin. And Martin Luther and William Tyndale opened up that prison door for German and English speaking people. William Tyndale had a benefactor, somebody who supported him with their means, Humphrey Monmouth. Without him, he could not have done it. William Tyndale was killed for translating the Bible into English and burned at the stake. Benefactors. People who believed and knew that what was the most important thing was laying up treasures in heaven. Imagine Humphrey someday, or I'm sure in heaven, somebody walked up to him and said, Humphrey, I want to thank you for giving to the Lord. For I'm a life that was saved when I read the English language. Same for Martin Luther. Now you know why Jesus said these words. You've heard them so often. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there's many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when that's done, I'll come back to take you to be where I am. You know, that promise is for you, for me, for your children, for your grandchildren, for anyone you know, for anyone whom the Lord God will call, for he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. The first level of giving is with your heart, storing up treasures in heaven. There's a story in the Bible about that rich person built all these buildings and stored up all his wealth. And he said, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what God said? Fool! What benefit a man if you're rich and have everything on earth and gain the world but lose your soul and is not rich towards God? The second level, read it with me. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy. Now I want to tell you about the English language and the Greek language. The English doesn't do a very good job here. The Greek reads this. If your eye is singular. Not healthy. Singular. Focused on one thing. Not on everything. Now he gives us the clue to that on verse 33. Seek first, singular, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be given unto you. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is singular, your whole body will be full of light. Singular, the kingdom of God, that's Jesus. He's the light of the world. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let me tell you about material things. It'll blind you. Imagine a window, foggy, dirty, you can't see through it. Imagine your eyes with cataracts. Nearsightedness is when you only see the things around here, and it will blind you. If you're just looking at material things, my car, my house, my retirement, and do not see the kingdom of God, you're blind. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You're self-indulgent and you're greedy. And this is how he explained it to them. You're blind. Material things can blind people. Helen Keller, blind from birth. Somebody once walked up to her and said, "Oh, isn't it terrible what God dealt you in life? Being blind and having struggled your whole life." And went on and on and on. Helen Keller just waited till he was finished. Then Helen Keller said these famous words, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than have two perfectly good eyes and see nothing. And not see God in your life and what He has done for you and what He has given you. First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is the promise. Then everything else will be granted." Level two is, what are you looking at? Are you blind this morning? Or can you see the kingdom of God around you and that you're a part of it? The third level of giving, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. Now today, we don't have masters and servants, at least not in our country. But masters who own servants have been part of the history of the world since the world began. And there are cruel masters and there are loving, caring masters. A cruel master is money. It's never satisfied. It's alcoholism, the addiction to drugs, gambling, immoral sex. It's never satisfied, and it takes and takes and takes. But there is a master who's loving and caring and giving. It is Jesus who uses this terminology to describe our relationship with God, our master. But don't think you can serve God and money. You'll love one and hate the other. And I want to give you a way of understanding who might be your master. I want you to think of your salaries. That is, if you're working, or your business, or your retirement. Your Social Security, disability, dividends, inheritance, somebody just giving you a gift for Christmas of money. You thinking of all that? Now, in the Old Testament, a child of God, if you were a farmer and you had 10 sheep and they gave you 10 lambs, one lamb, you were to return to the temple 10%. If you had 10 bushels of grain from your harvest, one bushel of grain was returned to the Levites, where the kingdom of God grew, the temple. In the last book of the Old Testament, the last thing God said for 400 years was this. I won't be heard from for 400 years, but do not rob me. Bring to my house the tithe, 10%, and test me. Only time in the Bible God says, test me. If you want to know if I'm real, then do this one thing, please. Test me. Bring the tithe and see if I won't open up the floodgate for you, and you'll acknowledge so much gifts and presents and wealth and all those things be added unto you. The floodgates will be open. Would you please test me? Okay, here's how you know who's your master. Of all your wealth, all your salaries, dividends, inheritance, whatever, answer this question in your heart. Not verbally. Does 10% belong to God? If you're here this morning, you're online, and in your mind, you're saying yes. That's one level. And it's the wrong level. If the master says to the servant, here are 10 fields. I give you 10 fields to work. Whatever you do with 9 of them, it's all yours. But this 10th field... return to me. You see, 10% does not belong to God. 100% belongs to God. Everything you have has been given to you by God, from your mind, your body, to your wealth, your inheritance, your salary. And here's the next level. He gives us 90% to do what we want with. Wow! What a generous God we have. What a master. Here it is. All of it I give to you. Just return 10%. It's mine anyways. All of it. See, that's a servant who loves the master. Thank you. You're so generous. We're part of the kingdom. This is what Jesus said. Don't be tight-fisted. It'll blind you. Be open-handed. Deuteronomy 15. If there's somebody poor, someone needy, or for the brothers and for the ministry, open your hands. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, quit doubting. Put your fingers here. And then Jesus went to the next level. When he died on the cross, greater love has no one than to give up his life. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. He did that for you and for you and for me, so we can store up treasures in the kingdom of heaven. We can share the gospel. We can give it freely. It doesn't cost us a dime. Wow, levels of giving. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, I know this morning I was preaching to the choir. People who have given of their time, given of their talents, given of their treasures. But we just need to be reminded this morning from the very words of Jesus, who gave it all, his whole life, that our heart needs to be into it. Our eyes need to see the vision, and our hands need to be open and give. We thank you for these words. May they move us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.